Hi, welcome to the 7th Manx Footy Pod. As always, I'm joined by Disco Dave.
Afternoon, everyone.
You're very high up there. You're on a high chair there, Dave.
I'm on pedestal today.
Pedestal, nice. Our guest today is Anthony Moore, the St John's, sometimes St John's midfielder, and another one of our American-based players. Plus, we've got interviews with Douglas High School All-Boys manager Wayne Kennedy, and I spoke to the mighty Quinn, that is Aaron, a Douglas Royal manager, after their 5-2 victory over Moran last week. So that's all coming up on this week's edition. Right, and welcome to the salubrious surroundings of the Manx Footy Pod broom cupboard. Was that sign here last week? I don't remember seeing that.
What, in the advertising for Ant?
Oh, right, just so he didn't know where he was, in case he didn't know where he was. And what is that? Is that a hat stand? A coat stand? That's very modern art, isn't it? Yeah.
Bit Art Deco. Yeah.
Was that radiator or was me? I'm looking around today, sorry about this. Is that radiator or was me there?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow,
I think it works, but it's always been there.
Well, and welcome to the quite confusing surroundings of the broom cupboard. Thanks for coming in today and having a chat. We'll find out exactly what you've been up to recently, I suppose. Explain what you... But you're still coaching in America at the moment, or...?
Yeah, so right now what I'm doing is... When I was playing over there, you know, obviously me, Liam, Al, Connor, Jack and that, what I'm doing there now is I'm coaching that level. So I'll coach kids coming in, I guess it's like 18 to 22 year olds.
Right.
And then they play throughout the college career. And basically that's it. It's all full-time coaching. We don't do teaching or anything like that with the classes. We just do, in the fall, it's like, the fall is August to December.
Yeah.
And that's our main season. So it's 3 or 4 months of just intense training, 2 or 3 games a week. So it's pretty hard on the bodies, but they're all trying to change it over there now. And they're trying to catch up with the European way of playing, which makes sense because cramming all those games in such a short time is prone for injury and all that kind of stuff. So basically just coaching.
How did that come about?
Kind of funny, actually. Once I graduated, It's a tough life being a foreigner because you have to keep in touch with all your visas and stuff.
Well, they put a wall up, don't they?
Trump does, yeah. Yeah. And the fact that he's a finalist for the president is absurd. But
do you get a vote?
Are
you
no. Unless if I was to vote, it would only be one way. But no, I don't get to vote. I think you have to have a green card.
Right.
No, not me. But. I've lost track of where we were.
It was just, so how did you get into coaching?
After I graduated, done my undergrad at Fairleigh Dickinson, you have like a 60-day period where you got to apply for your OPT, which gives you a year to find a job or go and do your masters or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was just lazy throughout the summer, and I waited until like the 61st, 62nd day. So I showed up to my school. Showed up to my school, and I'm like, I want to apply for the OPT, and they're like, nah, you're too late. So then I started panicking because I was like, right, I've overstayed my period. I need to go home and all that stuff. So I spoke with my old head coach at Fairleigh Dickinson. He's a great guy, but he ended up helping us out. And the school I'm at now, they had a graduate assistant position, but it was already filled by an American kid. He overlapped something, so he ended up leaving late on. And then I got in touch with the head coach there, and he let me... interview over the phone because it was 4 hours drive away.
Wow.
Didn't have a car in front of me, and it's honestly in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So in order to get there is hard in itself, but interview for that, and then it all worked out. But after that I started to come home and renew my visa and all that stuff, which I just done on Monday as well. So I must have been to the US Embassy about 5 or 6 times. it's ridiculous. I mean, it's what I want to do. I want to live out there, so I guess I have to do it. But I'd done my master's. I was a graduate assistant, helped out coaching, they paid for my school, and then after that I graduated, I turned full time. There was a position available, so it was good.
So you're based in Pennsylvania, is it?
Yeah, Pennsylvania. It's a place called, the school I'm at, St. Francis University.
Right.
It's in a place called Loretto, Pennsylvania, which is, I don't know how else to say it, but in the middle of nowhere. there's big schools, like Penn State is like a 45,000 student school, and that's about 45 minutes away from us. And then you got Pittsburgh, where Al was based and that's about an hour and a half. So it's a little bit of a trek, but if you want to go to a bigger city, then you have to do it.
Yeah. So have they put you through coaching badges, or have you done stuff with
So I've done the F license, but I mean, I want to do the, I'd like to do the UEFA badges,
right?
But it's hard to do them over there because it's European stuff. So in order to get the time off, you need to fly over here and do all that stuff. But my school's really good with it. They actually paid my visa and helped me get the sponsorship, which is brilliant of them.
Yeah.
And they also give you a helping hand with the coaching badges. So if I wanted to do, and you have your basic USSF, E, and then the F, the D, all that stuff.
Right.
So you have those, but like I said, I'd rather do the UEFA badges. It's just, it's a little easier to do the US badges, but just because they're there. But they don't, it's hard because sometimes they don't transfer over.
Yeah.
So if I was to ever come back to the UK, I might have to start all over again. Whereas if I'd done the UEFA ones, then it kind of, it goes both ways.
Yeah. So are you playing while you're out there?
Every now and then. It's honestly hard, especially during the fall, because you're in work. And again, where I am, it's like you have to travel an hour and a half to play.
Yeah.
So sometimes I join in with the guys, a bit of training, and we're short on numbers, which mainly happens in the spring. Because right now we have 30 guys on our roster. So it's hard to play. If I was in a more populated place, like if I lived in Pittsburgh or if I lived in State College where Penn State is, or anywhere else like that, it's a little easier. But for now, play every now and then, not as much as I want to.
Yeah.
But it's it's what I chose. So.
And have you been over to see Liam play in his with the City?
The City Islanders. It's he's only 2 hours away from me, which is good. So I went to watch him play. He won't like me saying this, but I went to watch him play against the New York Red Bulls too.
Oh yeah, when Wright Phillips was playing.
I didn't see the first game.
Oh,
I went
to
watch the second game, which is even worse. but only because of the result. He done well. I watch a lot of his games online, just because his season falls under mine. So it's hard to travel out there, even though it is 2 hours. Like, we don't finish training until 5:30, and then he starts a game at 7:00, so I've already missed half an hour. But no, I went over to watch against the Red Bulls too when his mum and dad are over, so it was good to see them as well. And just the players are good. The standard's good. We actually had a guy who's in our conference play for the Red Bulls too, and we've had a couple of guys go there. So they might be progressing potentially to the first team.
Right.
But it's hard. They're foreign, so it's hard for a foreigner to break in. Unless you're tremendous, it's really hard.
Well, we saw the issue with Liam, didn't we?
Yeah.
He lost his place at the New York Red Bulls because of that, didn't he?
So
it was DC.
DC United. It's a hard one because you do get, I mean, a lot of the foreign players are better than the American players, but they don't want to spend the money and I guess deal with the hassle unless you are a very, very good player.
Well, Liam seems to have been settling well. I think he's played pretty much every game.
I would probably say he's one of the better players on the team. They have a kid who was at Real Madrid.
Wow.
He was training with the first team under Mourinho. So it's not, I mean, I guess he has dropped down in standard wise, but it's, again, it's still a high level.
Yeah.
It's good exposure. You're playing against essentially the second team of the MLS teams.
Yeah.
So you're getting the exposure, you're traveling around America, you're playing with good players. Scouts are always going to be watching because they want to pick up players for their team as well, and he can call himself a pro, which he is. So
there's a few, I think a few Bermudan internationals and other Caribbean nations. As you say, it must be a fairly decent standard. So when we spoke to Alex, we had Alex Harrison in a few weeks ago. He was a good chat, wasn't he? We had a good chat with him, Dave.
On good form.
And he was extolling the virtues of the scholarship system, saying if you've got thinking of doing it as a 17, 18-year-old over here, you should do it. Would you endorse that? Would you
agree? Definitely. And actually, I would go as far as saying that it basically changed my life.
Yeah.
I haven't looked back from the day I wanted to go. I remember I was at, we were at St. Ninian's, and we were chatting about Chris Brown when he went out to Central Connecticut. I'm funny enough, they're in my conference now.
Right, okay.
So we were talking about it and saying, the reason why I wanted to go was I done bad in my A's levels. So I was like, I hate wasting time. I'm not redoing this. So I'll go get a job and I'll do that. And then I was like, you know what, I wouldn't mind going to America and playing.
Yeah.
And of course, being foreign, it's like, you're not bothered about the school part. You want to just go over and play.
Yeah.
And which a lot of it is you do. You're training 2 hours a day, you're playing.
Yeah.
You have to go to school every now and then. But we're talking about Chris Brown, how he's been successful. And I think he went to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
What his time there, but unfortunately injury plagued him, and And then a couple of us ended up signing up at First Point,
going
through that system. And I mean, as I mentioned, there's so many companies that do that now, so you'd find one easy enough. It's just probably, I would say, do your research, see how successful they are. You know, since I've been coaching, I get bombarded with emails from all different companies, you know, trying to advertise players and doing this and that. And you have to take the time and watch them. And it takes a lot of time because they have like a 5-6 minute highlight. So I would say do research on it. It's not cheap, but in the long run, you know, you're living in America, you have to, you get the exposure out there. So
how many scholarship places would your college offer for a student coming from the UK or?
Well, for us, it's a little different. We're a private school. So what we do, the way it works is, just say all across America, if you're a fully funded program, you get 9.9 scholarships.
Right.
The prices of schools vary. Ours is quite expensive being private. If you go to like Penn State, which is an in-state school, it's a lot cheaper. But depending on how good the player is, depending on how good of a student is as well, because we do academic packages up to like 10 grand.
Yeah.
So we can stack that and we can reduce the cost automatically if you're a good student. And then from there on, you know, depending on how good you are, depending on how much money we have to give, we can then offer you a scholarship. But being a foreigner, it's, I mean, you're always kind of going to expect to get money, and all the international kids do cost a lot of money because they don't really know what they're getting themselves into, but also you want to pay for that experience that they've had in Europe or internationally, because as we know, America's a little behind on the football side. But it's difficult to gauge, because sometimes you give a kid a full scholarship and it's a flop.
Yeah.
But it's a risk you're having to take. So it's harder for us as well, because our recruiting budget is small, so we don't really get to go internationally. I mean, last year I went to Pass 4, which is in the UK, and I paid for my own flight because I was coming home, which is completely fine. But it's little things like that, and you have a bigger school like Penn State or Kentucky or somewhere like that, who, like, you don't have to pay that. You can go to Sweden, you can go to England, Ireland, you go wherever you want, and it's all paid for any time of the year. But you know, you make do with what you got, and I'd like to think we make it work. We do well, but.
And would you say, obviously, I know college American football is massive, and others, baseball and stuff like that, but would you say football is growing? Al says the crowds they get are pretty impressive.
Over the years I've been there, it's definitely grown. I think it was a couple of years ago, they come out of a stat saying the average attendance of an MLS game is higher than the NBA.
Wow.
And again, I think that might have been before the women won the World Cup.
So
I think it's only going to be increasing. And again, like, I know we talk all about, you know, I coach men and you know, played that and stuff, but you know, the women's side of it as well is increasing. I know Kieran Morgan, she's over at Lasset Community College, and she's doing really well. And the exposure for women over there is increasing, because now they're bringing more foreigners over, just because, you know, again, even with women's football, there's more exposure in Europe and internationally than there is America.
Yeah, Bob Bradley now is now managing Swansea, isn't he?
Yeah.
That can only be a plus for the MLS.
Yeah, absolutely.
So back to Manx football. You were in action for the Mighty Johnners on Friday. How did you find that? Was it nice to be back in the blue and yellow again?
It was. It was good. It was interesting. You know, playing under the lights, you always kind of do that out in America. You're playing a Friday night, playing a Sunday afternoon, at least for my conference. But no, it was good.
Was it hard to slot back in? Because obviously you've probably trained with quite a few of those guys before.
Yeah. No, I mean it was easy enough. It's, you know, I played with them before, but again, like you say, there's a couple of new guys there.
Yeah.
But you know, you find your rhythm. It was fun. I mean, at the end of the day, I was, after the game, I actually contacted a few guys from back in America and was saying, like, how much of a laugh it was just playing with your mates again. Because in America, you don't really, I mean, you make friends, but you're kind of forced.
Yeah.
But here, like, you get to, you know, you play with your friends and that, and it was a good laugh. It was just a good time, and I think that's what makes it, you play better as well.
Yeah. You able to follow much Manx football while you're back in America?
Every now and then, you know, I'll try and turn on the radio. It's just the time difference kills me. So I'll try and, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I'll try and put the radio on, but sometimes I've missed it. And, you know, I listen to all the podcasts and that. I try and keep up with it.
Good lad.
Yeah. Give that a mention. Yeah. No, I'll follow it on the website and stuff, see the results. And, you know, we have a little WhatsApp group where you put the results in, you keep an eye on. on them. So.
And what do you think of John's chances? Are they, were they talking in the dressing room about Railway Cup, or are they?
They think they've got really good chances, and I think they'll get it. But again, it just comes down to results. Colby was a massive game. It could be a speed bump,
yeah.
But you know, we got through that. Got another speed bump on Saturday with Douglas Athletic. You know, these teams can upset teams. It's football. It's what it's all about. So hopefully we'll get the result, and then next week is a big game.
Yeah, massive. I'll be down watching you on Saturday, and so no added pressure there. A couple of weeks ago, we had Brido and Lewis in talking about the under-18s. They were away playing in the FA County Youth Cup against Lancashire. And we were talking about 2007, 2008, the team, the golden generation.
Yeah.
And it got me wondering, what's the best team? You were obviously part of that. What's the best team you've played in?
That's a hard one.
I know, yeah, because you've played in a lot of teams. Yeah. Maybe not club sides, but obviously you played for Ellen Baton, didn't you? The Armagh FA team. You know,
I mean, I don't know if I could pinpoint one. I mean, that Ellen Baton run was special.
Yeah.
You know, just the whole time of being there, the squad was brilliant. It was just a laugh, and then to top it off, you know, you get to the final when you're unexpected to, and then you have the likes of that Isle of Man team, unbelievable run. Still to this day, I think we should have won it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's football. You know, my college team, Fairleigh Dickinson, me and Jack, we ended up going to the Sweet 16. Had a great run. So I mean, honestly, I couldn't pinpoint one. I've had good times with a couple of teams, and even St. John's, like, you know, when I wasn't part of it massively, but you know, even playing in the Railway Cup final, special.
Yeah.
You know, we unfortunately got beat, but just being a part of it is something that I'm really proud of.
So we noticed you always wear the number 7 shirt. How did that come about?
I can't remember, to be quite honest. I always think, I mean, just watching the likes of like David Beckham and stuff, and it's like, you know, when you're a kid, you just look at these players and. I guess I just wanted number 7.
Mm.
I don't know, I took a liking to it. And then as a young kid, started wearing it. And then, I don't know if this was on purpose or not, but Friday night, I went and sat in the changing rooms and put my stuff down, looked on the board, and my name was next to number 7. I'm like, all right, this is coincidental.
You are on podcast number 7 as well.
Yeah. Very weird, yeah. Spooky. Now, I've been on the internet this morning, and I have found your Focus On from 2008. Do you remember doing this? We used to have a feature on IRM Today /football where we asked several questions to famous footballers of the day, including yourself, and you had to answer who was your toughest opponent and stuff like that. So I'm going to go run through a couple of these and see if they're still if you answer the same. So you were 17, your toughest opponent, who was that? Do you remember?
17.
Yeah. And club-wise, I think.
I don't know. I mean, looking back, I don't know. Fighting against Corinthians.
Well, you actually said in Division 1 was St. George's.
Oh, as a team.
Yeah, it's a club, yeah. And then in Division 2, you said Paul Rose and Castletown.
So. Yeah, I remember Paul Rose. That was a battle up there.
Favourite away ground? Can you remember what you said for that?
I said Ramsey.
You did. You went. You actually had Peel / Ramsey. So you obviously like a stand.
Yeah, it's good.
Proudest moment in football. So this is in 2008. Can you remember what you said? You haven't actually mentioned it today. So
2008.
Hmm.
I wasn't playing the year, was it?
No. Apparently, it was scoring for Everton for the
Isle of
Man.
Against Everton. Yeah. I was right back to scoring a volley.
Yeah. What age group was that?
I think we were 15s.
Right, okay.
But we played their younger age group. I think we drew 3-3. Yeah, we went to their place and played right back.
Any young Everton stars of the future lurking in that?
I don't remember.
Could have been Ross Barkley. Favourite all-time player? This made me chuckle. What did you say?
From the Isle of Man?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nick Lum. I think he must have paid you to say that.
I think he did. Still owes me, actually.
Yeah, he does. Favourite CD?
Oh, I've no idea.
2008, when you were obviously a big Coldplay fan at that point.
Actually, I still am. Went to watch them in Philadelphia.
Were they good?
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Favourite other sport?
Other sport? golf.
Yes, some things don't change. Right, we've also had our usual array of Twitter questions. Some better than others, as we've said this week.
Yeah, we've had to censor a few of them this week.
Yeah, we've sieved through them. Now, Joe Andrews, the other week, I got ripped on Twitter for this, said he was a forward, didn't I? But he's actually centre-half, Joe Andrews.
He is.
Braddon captain as well, is he?
Braddon
captain?
I think so.
He wants to know, bizarrely, what your size shoe you were in year four.
No idea. Do you know what size shoe you were in year
four? I think I was about an 8, I think, or a 7.
Go for 7, it's you looking over.
So yeah, I'll stick 7
then.
Yeah.
7, okay. Although that's does sound quite big.
I was going to say that is pretty
quite big.
Big.
For year four, you're in about, you're about 7 or 8, 9.
You're
about 9 years old, yeah. Well, we haven't answered that question for you, Joe, unfortunately. I apologise for that. Maybe you could tweet us with what size shoe you were. Another slightly obscure one from Alex Harrison. He's obviously been on the end of some of these in the past, so he's been thinking about this. Are you a mouth breather or a nose breather?
That's a hard one. I always got slated for this in school, but whenever I concentrate, like I breathe through my nose dead loud.
Right.
So like if it's a quiet room and I'm writing a paper or something, like people are just looking at me like, what are you doing? Why are you mouth deaf? And I breathe from my nose, and then like when I'm tired I just breathe from my mouth.
Well, I'm more of a mouth man myself. I feel restricted when I'm just left with my nose. I don't know about you, Dave, is that just me being a bit weird there?
Not really. You're a bit special, but yeah. hopefully you breathe through both.
So. Yeah, well, occasionally. Yeah. Not at the same time, has to be said. Good question, Alex. Well done. Right. Dave, you spoke to Wayne Kennedy after Saturday's 1-0 win over Peel. Cracking result, that.
Yeah, it was a good result there for all boys. It was hard work, and you were down at that game. It was a very tight affair, wasn't it?
It was. It was end-to-end. Don't know for all the right reasons, but no, it was entertaining in itself.
So what did he have to say after?
Oh, Wayne was happy. He said, well, they won that game defensively. He paid tribute to Martin King, obviously scored the winner and got the team of the week in this week's Manx Independent.
Good plug.
And he hasn't yet ruled out them getting a place in the Railway Cup.
Right, we'll have a listen to that now.
Right, congratulations. A bit impressive win, that.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, we've been on the wrong side of a couple of tight games. So
yeah.
I think today has been coming for the last week or two. But I think we've won it defensively. We've defended as a team, which we've said before the game and at half time as well. And to be honest with you, they've not really troubled us that much. And when they have, we've dealt with it.
Well, you had Sam in good form in goals, and you had King leading the troops well at the back.
Well, so we usually have a man of the match in a lottery because I think it's an obvious choice today. That's going to be. So King will be looking at the lotto tonight.
Absolutely.
And it was a winning goal as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a bit of a bobble through the keeper, but you take any goal and it was a good goal.
Well, again, we've had ones against us like this season, so yeah, I think it does even itself out through the season. So we'll take that and we'll move on. And we'll take a look at the league now. It's starting to become a little bit more interesting for us.
Still in with a shot at the Railway Cup, certainly.
If we can put a good run together, by all means. But yeah, it's a bit tough ask, but it's not impossible, that's for sure.
As you said, it was built upon the defence today, but you had Josh making a great goal line clearance then as well.
Yeah, well, we'll put that down to some great substitutions by the manager.
Absolutely. But it was an impressive performance right across the park. I mean, Peel had their chances, but you guys definitely deserve to win that, in my book anyway.
I think if you look over the 90 minutes, I think the better football was played by us. And again, that's been the last few weeks. We played really well against Laxey, certainly the second half.
Yeah.
But you can't give teams two or three goal leads and expect to, you know, we almost got a point, but still have 8. Well, as I say, we've moved on to this week. And as I say, the changing room will be a different changing room, I would imagine, this
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. Could have possibly had a penalty as well in the first half.
Well, to be honest with you, I checked with our player at half time and he did say he slipped, so I made a point of going over to see the linesman and the referee and saying quality decision. You know, we can all have a go at them when they get it wrong, but, you know.
Got to give them praise when they get it right.
When they get it right, so all credit due to the two of them. It looked a penalty, stonewall penalty to all of us.
I was 5 yards away, I was taking photos and it looked a penalty to me, but again, you couldn't tell with the way the movement went.
I did have a word on them. You've got to give credit where it's due for tough decisions, because it was a tight game. It was only ever going to be a one goal, I think, today, and we got it.
And lastly, just a quick note about Adam Adabai, because he had a good game there, didn't he?
Yeah, well, we tried to start with Adam a month or so ago, but he jarred his knee in training, so he's just come back from it now. We put him on as sub last week against Laxey, and he made a difference. Again, we'll keep a close eye on him, but you can't help but say it was a good first full game for him in the first team.
Looks a good player.
Yeah, and he's ours.
Right, welcome back to the podcast. We're joined today by Anthony Moore, and of course Disco Dave is here on his high chair. You're sort of carrying over us today.
I've got a bit of vertigo up here.
There's a bit of nosebleed, you alright?
Yeah.
We don't have to bring you down in stages, you don't want to get in bends. Right, so we've got Anthony in the podcast studio. I say studio, broom cupboard. We'll look ahead to Saturday's games. Peel, we just mentioned, they lost last week 1-0 to Old Boys at real risk of not qualifying for the Railway Cup, I would say.
Absolutely, they need a win to get back on the course. They've only got 2 games left, I think.
Yeah, 2 games left to qualify, but they've got a big game against Laxey this week. Laxey, of course, third themselves, going for Railway Cup qualification, so it's not going to be a pushover, are they?
I'd probably just fancy Laxey in that one, but Peel bounce back sometime, and this could be the week.
Having seen them last week, would you say they've got a chance against them this week? I went for a draw, I think, in the paper. But
I think a draw is a fair result. But again, you know, with that result we had last weekend, it's, you know, the backs are against a wall, so these things can happen.
And then on to the game you're going to obviously be featuring in, Doubleside Athletic St John's. As you say, it could be a potential banana skin, this.
It could be, you know, playing up there, away from home. But I think we have enough quality to get past. But I think we'll get past.
You agree with that, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, Douglas Athletic are very much capable of springing a surprise, but having seen St John's against Geordie's a couple weeks ago, very well organised, play some good football, so I think they'll be too strong.
They really seem to have picked up quite a lot of momentum in the last few weeks, so yeah, you should favour the Johnners there. Right, St George's Corinthians, sort of coming, they've had a troubled few weeks, they've had a coming back with a good win over last week, 8-3 I think it was, high scoring affair. Hattie was there with his video camera.
Yep, a couple of hat-tricks there for Danny Oram and Josh Riding, so.
But St George's just knocking the results out of the park at the moment, aren't they? They're just relentless.
Unstoppable.
So you'd have to sort of favour St George's, but Corinthians, as I say, they've got a couple of games in hand on everyone else, so they're still with a shout of Railway Cup, but Not going to get much out of St George's, are you? Not much change out of them.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought so. George's, you have to fancy them.
Old Boys Ramsey, Old Boys clinging on by their fingernails to Railway Cup option, potential qualification. They should be favourites to get 3 points for Ramsey, especially after last week's result. Wayne seems said that he's not ruling it out, is he?
No, he needs to put together a good run of form now. They've got a few good fixtures ahead of them. If they can win this one, it might set them up just nicely for it.
And Colby Rushen, everyone loves a derby, doesn't they? There are players that have moved between these two clubs. There should be a bit of needle down there. Just hope it's not too windy, because it's a bit exposed, the old station ground field, isn't it?
It is a little bit, yeah. You were there with your hat on last week, weren't you?
Bit of a chill, was it?
Yeah, I was, actually.
Colder than Pennsylvania?
No. At the wrong time of the year, absolutely not.
Probably got better pasty, though, I would say.
Oh, tremendous pasty.
But Russians should be favourites to keep their Railway Cup qualification bid going, because I think that I worked out, apart from St George's and St Mary's, who look all but home and hosed, there's 6 teams that could still qualify for the top four, so Russian need the points, and
Do. Apparently they played really well against George's last week, and they were right in the game up until the very end, so yeah.
You'd have to favour them against Colby. Last game is, of course, the aforementioned St Mary's. They're making the trip north to Ayr. So always one you look for in the fixture book, is it? And you know, there you've got to make the trek to Andrews.
I used to, but now with the amount of travel I'm doing in America, it's an easy trip.
Yeah, small fry.
I was up there on Saturday, actually. I was watching Wes's kid Calvin.
Yeah.
My godson up there, so it wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad of a trip.
I think St Mary's will enjoy the trip, because they're still without point, leaking goals. They seem to be scoring, though. Dean Tate, my man Dean Tate's still banging
them in.
Yeah,
I think he's got 6 or 7 now for the season. He's doing all right.
But you'd have to say St Mary's, with Al at the back and Carl looking very strong at the back and up front as well, Hudgies, Priestnell, be there 3 points to throw away.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Right, talking of goal scoring, we had one of our world famous Manx football blog votes on the who we people thought were going to win the Golden Boot this year.
Yes,
we hastily threw that one together on yesterday, didn't we, Dave? We've had a staggering 71 votes, which is unbelievable. The options people could vote for are Ashley Webster, Kieran McNulty, of course, reigning Golden Boot holder, as it were. Another.
Yeah. Not a new signing,
but another person. And Sean Gavin, who's currently at the top of the charts.
He's joint top, I think, with Ash at the moment, and he's well on course to already beat his previous best.
Go on and hit me with your stat of the week about Sean Gavin, don't
you? Well, I think his previous best is 16 goals in a season, and as I say, he's already well over halfway to get him.
He's on 12, I think, isn't he? Already?
He's on 12 now. So
he needs a little four. Then you can put your feet up for the rest of the season, Sean. So the vote went very tight vote. 31% of the people thought that Ash was going to be Golden Boot winner come May. Kieran attracted 30% of the vote, so only 1% in it. Another 25%, and Sean 14%. Now, another staggering stat. Ash has only actually scored in two games, and he's already joint top scorer in the league. Did you see that the other weekend? Ash scored 11 goals versus.
Jesus.
How many? What's the most you've bagged in one match?
Maybe five.
Five. But 11.
Yeah, 11. That's impressive.
That is very impressive. They won 17.
No, it was 71,
wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Scored in that game. 71. Right, before we delve into the murky waters of Division 2, I spoke to Aaron Quinn after their comeback win against Moran last week. They were 2-0 down against, as to be say, quite a young and Moran side, and then they battled back, much to Aaron's pleasement. I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Joy.
Joy, yeah. To register a 5-2 win, move them back up to third in the standings. They're only 3 points off the top. He's saying, we misquoted him the other week, promotion's not really on the agenda, but I think the points and the stats don't lie. They're in the mix there, aren't they?
Certainly are. In good goal scoring form, they'll be up there.
So we'll hear what Aaron has to say now. Right, Aaron, there's certainly some goals in that, and 2-0 down. You boys seem to take a while to get going.
Yeah, I think they did everything the opposite of what I asked them to do in the change room, was come out and be up for the game and start quickly and not give silly free kicks away. And I think we were pretty ill-disciplined for the first 15, 20 minutes, and we were very slow to start and went two goals down. But they were our own doing. I've pulled up the individuals who would give away the ball. One was in our half and one was in their half, and we were on the attack and they broke and scored. So... two individual errors, slow to start, but I did think we would get back in the game.
Some cracking goals today, starting with Greg. I think I believe he's broken his boot with one of them. But
I'm not having it. He's broken his boot with. He has scored from 40 odd yards, but I'm not having it. He's broke his boot with that. I think that was one of his challenges that he's missed, or something.
Well, there was a few that were raining in from all over today.
Yeah, we've scored some really good goals there today, and sometimes they'll fly over the bar, and sometimes they'll go in. And I think Whitley from 25 yards in off the post is probably the nearest one that's gone in. The rest of them have flown in. So, it's these new modern footballs, I think.
I'm sure that's what the goalkeepers will blame.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so Moran are probably going to be the team in and around the top half. Yeah, it'd be good to get a good 3 points off them today.
Yeah, I've been happy with the way that we have played in games. But unfortunately for us, the games against the so-called top teams, Castletown, maybe Braddon, and well, obviously Braddon, and Ramsey Youth Centre, unfortunately for us, have been called off through no fault of our own. So it's been hard to gauge potentially where we would finish. You know, and this was a run of games, five games, where potentially we would know after playing those teams, what we could achieve this season. But those games have been cancelled, so this was a big test today to see roughly where we'd be at. And I thought we thoroughly deserved the win. The two goals that we conceded come from our own mistakes. But the lads got a bit of a roasting at half time, and the second half performance, I don't think they got into our half in the first 20 minutes. We were fantastic, and we needed that goal, which we got.
And still gunning for promotion? Is that, or are you going to wait and see?
I have never said we would get promotion. I am fully confident in the lads that we've got. We have got a really good group of lads. The whole my thing when I've come in and took over was a team in a lot of disarray, if you like. A lot of individuals had stopped wanting to play. There was a lot of bad atmosphere around the club, and my sole aim was, I know the players are here, I know we've got good players, and it's to get that attitude changed and have a bit of a laugh, even before the game and at training, and getting the lads playing. And for the first time today, I'm still three players missing. My goalkeeper's away, my left back, congratulations Patey's, his missus has had a little boy today. He's missing, Craig suspended, so we've still got a few players to come back into this. And for the first time, I've had to drop players, and I've never done that since I took over in March. So, we've got a squad of 17, 18 players potentially first team. So, we'll be there or thereabouts. But like I say, we need to play those teams up above us to see where we are. And, you know, today was a good marker.
Thanks very much.
No problem, thank you.
Right, welcome back. We're still, Ant's still here, he hasn't left, has he? No, I think he's still there.
He hasn't taken the coat rack with him,
though. No.
Talking out this cupboard.
We're talking about run through Division 2 fixtures for this Saturday. Big game, one of your old clubs, Pulley versus Jims. Pulley had been in woeful form, it has to be said, till last week, and they pulled a result out of nowhere and beat Foxdale 4-1.
Absolutely, a great result.
And Billy Moat as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So a big game against Jims, who again have also cobbled some results together in recent weeks.
We've sent our top man down to this one, haven't we?
Yeah, Hattie's going to be there with the multimedia mogul. He'll be tweeting, he'll be reporting, he'll be...
Just generally being a nuisance, yeah.
Generally being a nuisance there.
Yep.
So, picking a winner in this one's actually quite tough. I would have said Jim's going up, but after last week's result, maybe a draw, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be very tight. I mean, Paul, you're a bit of an enigma, aren't they? So, who knows?
expert analysis from there. Is
that what we said?
Brown still licking their wounds after blowing a 2-goal lead against Royal last week. They face Douglaston District at Crosby. Brown, you should favour, but as we say every week on this podcast, much to Dave Matheson's joy, Douglaston District are capable of a result on their day, aren't they?
They absolutely are. I think Brown should win this one. They've got a good run of form going together, other than that result last week, but Douglaston District, they know how to spoil the party.
They certainly do. Castletown Onken. Onken, another of the league's form teams at the moment.
Well, Castletown and Onken's form is absolutely identical. They've both won 4 of their last 6 games. This should be a very tight game. They're only one place apart in the league as well.
I'm going to edge it towards Castletown, but I think there'll only be a goal or two in it, don't you?
I think so, yeah. Home advantage might just give them the edge.
Home advantage. Does that make much of a difference in Manx football? And I know you were just talking about like you know long trips to Andreas and all that, but just home difference, is it psychological or is it...
I don't know, I think it's more on the pitch and the weather. You got different weather in Peel and Douglas, don't you? So.
Said like a true Manxman. Right. Michael United, Douglas Royal, Aaron Quinn's men should get another 3 points to add to their non-promotion bid.
Absolute favourites for that one, you'd say.
Michael still scored just the 1 goal this season?
Yeah, they're still quite low down. They're not bottom yet, but they're nearly there.
That 0-0 draw against Onken is saving them from bottom spot at the moment.
That honour goes to Malou, who faced a tough task against league leaders, Brandon.
Oh, God, yes. You'd have to say... Although, Malou, they've been in most games recently, haven't they?
They lost 2-1 to Castletown last week, and it was a sudden derby.
Yeah.
They say form goes out the window in a derby, but you don't know what to read into that match, really.
You'd favour Braddon, but maybe not Schlacking, as suffered by other teams. But yes, Andy Glover's a man on form. You've obviously played with Andy, and you know, incredible goal scorer in Division 2 level.
Yeah, he finds a way to scores that no one else does, and you know he's carrying on doing it then. It's always interesting. He scored, what, 5, was it?
He scored for fun.
He's silver boot.
He's miles ahead, about 8 goals.
Yeah, something like that, so he's comfortable.
He's fine in the back of the net, so...
Not bad for a man that started out as a goalkeeper as well. I think he played playing goal for Pulley. I remember him being half decent stopper as well.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
He's had more clubs than Nick Fowler, though, hasn't he? He's done the rounds, the not-so-traditional Foxdale, Douglaston District, Oro, St John's.
I think Wolfie's the only one that comes close to him.
Yeah, good old Mark Wolfie.
Yeah.
And he's retired. That he should come back just to join for another club.
Yeah, he hasn't completely ruled out yet. Yeah. We'll see.
Final game, I've read this correctly, Governors Athletic versus Foxdale. Foxdale need a win to make sure they keep in that top 3 fight, really, don't they?
They do. I mean, it was a big setback for them last week, and the manner in which they lost... As well, Governors, they put up a good fight against Onken. I think they only went down 2-0 in the end, so they've got quite a bit of spirit in the team, so it could be an interesting game. We can still fancy Foxdale.
Of course, that'll be on the Bemahague pitch I was touching on before. Slightly exposed, so if it's a bit of a windy day, could be a bit of a level for them. But
Foxdale are used to that, though, aren't they?
Well, of course, the king of the level, as in Billy Moat. So, but I'd still say Foxdale should win that. Right, and thanks for coming in.
Appreciate
lovely
it.
To see you as always. You know, have a safe trip back to Pennsylvania. Keep in touch. Keep listening. You know, if we lose you as a listener, we're down to 3. So, and one of them's your mum, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't actually think she knows how to work a podcast.
Well, it's a bit like me.
Yeah.
Right. Don't forget, you can tweet us any point during the week. at Max Footy Blog if you've got any questions or topics or people who suggest we should get into the broom cupboard.
Yeah. There you go.
Preferably people that have some sort of relation to Max Football would be on. Also, you can now subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You got iTunes on?
I do, but...
Well, there you go. That's what you need to do when you get home. Just search Max Football on the podcast section of iTunes and you click on that and it downloads every week, doesn't it?
It does. You could probably listen to all 7 of the podcasts on the plane back to America.
Yeah, there you go.
I've already listened to them all.
Well, you need to sleep.
Yeah, they'll probably put you to sleep. But,
it comes up on, you bombard my Twitter and all sorts with it, so...
Oh, sorry, Anne. We apologise. Also, we're, of course, on audioboom.com/channel/Max Football. As Dave said, all 7 of them are there for your perusing at will. Right, that's it for this week's tremendous edition of the Max 40 Pod. We'll be back next week.